Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
All right, well, welcome to episode 6 of Keep On Cyber Trucking. As always, my name is Eric. We're here with Chase and Will. Mm-hmm. And we talk about EVs, electric vehicles, technology, obviously Cybertruck, because we all own one. And so just wanted to see how you guys are doing and say hi.
Hey, hey. Hey.
Pretty yeah, it sounds like it. Except for Chase, you had a busy weekend and probably a week, I think, you or maybe 2 weeks. You've been pretty, I've seen you running around here and there. You're a popular guy. You got music videos going on. You have you're leading the the Calvary down in Austin, and why don't you tell us everything that you've been up to?
Yeah, we did have I forgot about the music video, but you're right. It was that kind of ended off the weekend. But yeah, so the weekend started pretty normal. We actually shot a video with Farzad again, where we went to a barbershop where he knew the owner, and then we came by and got like first impressions of people who haven't seen the Cybertruck before, and then we also took a few spins around the block to give people a chance to like experience how fast the dual motor is. So that was a lot of fun. And then on our way back from that shoot, I get a phone call saying, "Hey, I need a Cybertruck now. Like, are you available?" So like, if you ask and figure it out, okay, we can make this work. Turns out that the streamer Miskiff was on his way to the Lambo store here in Austin. So I actually went down and met Miskiff down at the Lambo store in Austin, and he went to test drove a couple Lambos. One was like not a Ventador, but one Lambo and then a Urus. Just kind of looking to probably buy one, and then ended up driving our Cybertruck all the way back up to Round Rock where he initially was. So that was kind of crazy that we're like, he was on live stream the whole time. You can go look it up on his videos. We show up and then get his opinion about the Cybertruck. He didn't really care for it, obviously, because it's polarizing. But he at least did say that the power was impressive. He said that the same kind of pick up and go as the Urus did. So that's a plus one for the Cybertruck.
Yeah,
just definitely. As fast as a Lambo. So that was a lot of fun. And then, yeah, we had a really fun event the next day with a bunch of kids. They called it a touch truck. So we went out and parked the truck, and then all these kids could come by. Like, there was a helicopter and dump trucks and fire trucks and police cars and all these really, like, crazy Jeeps and stuff. And all the kids were like, "Oh, but the Cybertruck."
Yeah.
Like, that's all you heard people talk about. All the kids were talking about. They just wanted to go sit in the Cybertruck. And then we had it open so, like, all the kids could, like, go and jump around and, like, sit in it and take pictures. And it was a lot of fun. That's always really fun. Plus, a lot of our neighbors came by, too, because it's just around the corner that we had the event. And then, yeah, to top it off, we had a music video shot with it, with a really awesome artist that I'm excited to see the videos kind of out from that. So, yeah, it was a busy weekend, to say the least.
It's funny that how you got that call and they go, "We need a Cybertruck and we need it now." I've had that happen to me as well, and it's like, it's really it's cool. You know, the fact that a car has done that, you know, where you get a random celebrity call. Yeah. And it's like, hey, we need you. We need your truck. Get over here and get over here quickly. And yep. So it's just, it's wild.
And it was mainly because of the connections that I made from doing the Austin Grand Tour. Literally, one of the guys that runs it, that was the guy who called me directly. And it's like, he showed me after the fact, like, he had a, like, on his phone, he had a list of Cybertrucks. And I think I was at the top of the list just because my name starts with C. So I lucked out there. I was the first one he called and the first one to say yes. So it was pretty funny. But yeah, it's wild to see, like, the celebrity and the eyeballs that this thing gets everywhere you go. It's just, it's bar none. I'm curious to see how that lasts over time. Like, a year from now, if we're going to have that same kind of reaction.
Well, out of my curiosity, Erica, do you see the same kind of constant exuberance, people almost crashing their cars around where you are trying to take a picture of your truck when you're driving it?
It's not like how it used to be.
I'm going to agree with that. I
quite
definitely,
literal crashing.
I think that like before it was like,
yeah, I didn't know where he was going with that. I was like,
what?
Are you giving it to me a little bit?
No. I'm just bringing up. It's like, I feel like in the LA area, I feel like I've seen, especially, well, just with the adults, they're like, oh, this is my first one. I've seen it in person. But that doesn't sound like it did 2 months ago. I think that there's a bunch of people that I've talked to who rented my truck, but they'll still tell me, yeah, you know, in LA, I see them driving around all the time. So, you know, that I give them a try. So it's already gone to that mindset of I see them all the time.
Yeah.
For some people. It might be exaggeration, but, you know.
Especially in Austin, too.
Yeah, I think for us being Texas and California, we're going to probably have that experience right now. Mm-hmm. The rest of the country, maybe not so much. But, yeah, no, definitely that whenever I do talk to people, that's kind of what I get as well. Same comment as you will, where they'll tell me, hey, this is the first time I've actually been able to touch it, but I see them on the freeway all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and even for myself, I've seen three in my, you know, community, so to speak, like in our city in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
So
I've seen one other one and I'm like, wow, in my area, doesn't seem like the high priority type of area. But I'm like, all right, well, somebody just had their res in and they went for it.
Yeah.
We just saw one when we went to go park for dinner. We're like, oh, there's a Cybertruck in the parking lot. So like it was an odd shaped parking lot. So like he was just kind of at a spot, and I was like, oh, there's enough room I could get in behind him. So I went in to park behind him as he's like walking back, and I'm like, hey. So he just picked it up like 2 weeks
ago.
That's
awesome.
He's excited.
I was gonna ask you guys that. So how do you guys feel when you see another Cybertruck?
I think it's exciting. Just as exciting as, you know, I think they are. Sees the one for the first time, you know. I keep saying that we need like a thing. We need a Cybertruck thing. Like Jeep people have like the ducks.
Uh huh.
We need something like that. Dashboard is just too big.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, but you know, I got rid of my Ram and I got my wife a Jeep, and I didn't know anything about this duck thing. Until my sister told me. She goes, hey, are you going to buy rubber ducks? And I go, why would I buy rubber ducks? Like, what are you talking about? So she explained it to me. I didn't believe her. I went online, I looked it up, and I was like, holy, this is a real thing. And so then my sister goes, you should start something for the Cybertruck where you do the same thing. But you know, and I'm like, okay, like, what do I do, though? I'm not that creative, you know, so I have no idea. But yeah, no, you're 100% right. I think that would actually be pretty cool. I think people actually do it.
Yeah, I saw one guy on X suggest maybe like a wave, like a special like handshake that we all have. I think he was trying to say like something like this for like the triangle.
Yeah, that's the folks have been interested in it so for a while. They've been trying to come up with their own, like, you know, something. And nobody's officially
it's gonna
settled
be something.
On.
I think in the early days of the Tesla, I think that was a thing. I think they would do the piece, the two fingers. Mm-hmm. I think that was the early thing. I don't think that stuck, obviously, because I mean I've never done that. Yeah. But yeah, I think we got to figure out our own rubber ducky.
I wonder Because I did, I saw one. I think it was middle of last week. As we were like driving by on the highway, and I like went out the window and I gave him the whole like, you know, trucker kind of honk your horn thing. So maybe
did you really?
Maybe that's funny. It. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so that's what we're gonna do now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Next time you see a Cybertruck,
next time I see, I'm a.
Come on, pop the horn.
Yeah, like you are because a truck. I had that. You are a truck.
Someone did that to me in like a normal car. They were like out the window, like honk the horn.
Yeah,
like,
I've had people ask me to honk the horn. Where they're like, you know,
yeah,
like why? I don't know why you want me to honk the horn, but okay, here you go. And it's, you know, I wish the horn was a little cooler than it is because it's just a normal horn. Like I think they're expecting it to be like some, you know, Viking horn, you know, I don't know. It's just...
Or a train horn or something.
Yeah.
reminds me, the one last thing that actually happened this weekend is we went to a car show in the morning over at Circuit of the Americas. This is probably a good segue, too. But when I was driving through to, like, go park, people were like, rev up the engine! And I'm like, I'm looking out my window, I'm like, rev, 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 rev. Like, this is all I could do. So a lot of people got to laugh at that, but yeah. It's a lot of fun. People get it, but yeah.
I just made a note here in case we went past. I was like, does the Cybertruck have the boombox feature where we can change the exterior sounds?
It does, but
it probably hasn't.
The boombox works okay, but the megaphone is kind of underwhelming.
Okay.
It's not as loud as it should be.
Because I was gonna say we could. I want a horn that sounds like the robot Ed 209 from RoboCop. Where it's just, you know, like, you have 15 seconds to comply. You're like, oh, Jesus. Put it into extract mode, it just goes up over your life.
Transformer.
Love it.
Well, we have a comment, and Leo asked if we have all-wheel drive Cybertrucks or Cyberbeasts, and I let him know that we all have the all-wheel drive, but I think that's a good segue into Chase. You had the lucky opportunity to ride in a Cyberbeast. Why don't you give us that experience?
We did indeed go from 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds, so it was went by very fast. But yeah, at the same car show, actually, I parked and then I noticed that plain Cybertruck went by. I'm like, hey, you know, waved, and then I saw where they parked. And
you didn't do this?
I should have. That was before.
We didn't have the Council of Elrond here yet.
Yeah, I should have. But I walked over there. I was like, hey, just introduce myself. He was like, you know, I've got my Cybertruck over there. And it turns out it was like a father and daughter who really avid like car people. They've got a couple of supercars themselves, and they were renting the Cyberbeast for the weekend just to go to the car show. And conversation came up, and then they offered to like, hey, do you want me to launch you in the truck? I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. So we took around the parking lot and launched it, and holy shit, like it made me jealous. Like, and like slightly regret my decision, but I don't know, like I keep going back and forth because I think we all have the same decision. It's like, well, we can get the dual motor that we chose right away, or we can wait and have the Cyberbeast sometime without any real estimate. So I think it's worth one in the hand than two in the bush. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting experience to feel that power. Like it's for those who don't know, our trucks just have like the standard and then chill mode for driving styles, and then the Cyberbeast, they add on a beast mode, which that kind of unlocks the extra acceleration. Which you can drive around in that, and I don't know why you would want to, because it's so fast. Like it's a difference between 600 horsepower and 850 horsepower. So it's pretty big.
Like an energy drink shoots out from under your seat, and then a CrossFit membership pops up on the screen, signs for you.
IV of Monster.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I've been trying. I've been wanting to get into a Cyberbeast, but every time I talk to somebody that has one, doesn't work out, unfortunately.
Just too fast.
Timing doesn't work. Yeah, they just go right by me. I don't have time. So,
which that's something I forgot. We were mentioning things. We haven't really talked about the Cyberbeast that of getting bricked.
Yeah, there's been more than a few issues. I'm curious.
Yeah, and it seems like it's happening like as they leave the lot. And I've got a theory on that, and it seems to be somewhat common, but I'm curious to see if it'll become true. Of like, it appears that this is happening when people are like pulling out into a road, and then they're just like pulling out and gunning it right away.
Yeah,
and I would assume in beast mode too, and it would make sense that the back tires are turned all the way because they're going to make a tight turn, and then with the back tires speeding up that fast, it might cause something to glitch. But that's my best guess. I have no idea.
That would be interesting because it is a problem. You know, I haven't heard of any of these issues that the Cyber Beast has had with the dual motor.
Right.
You know, obviously I don't know everything and I don't know everybody's situation, but it's kind of out of the blue with the Cyber Beast and with all these issues that nobody was reporting previous to the Cyber Beast.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So,
very recent. Maybe it could be a flaw in the manufacturing, because we know that dual motors are pretty much, you know, almost full speed, but they're pretty well into manufacturing now. Uh-huh. The Cyber Beasts are going much slower. I would assume that they're probably not in like the full production line, but they're probably being put together more carefully. But who knows if that means that we're seeing this because it's going into the main production line, or like there's difficulties there. Who knows?
Well, I don't know, but I would feel bad for, or I would be really upset if I waited, like what you were saying, how we made that decision to take the dual motors because we wanted the trucks sooner. If I would have waited, had that excitement of, oh, I'm getting it sooner than anticipated, and then, you know, you're just driving it, and it just, yeah, just, sorry.
Literally, it's like, okay, you have to pull over and tow it back kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that we will benefit for now. I'm wondering if we're watching history be written, where it's kind of one of those, all right, you know, the ramp was going up, but the manufacturing ramp was going up, but the QC side of it just couldn't keep up with it. Where it's like, yeah, you may be happy in a few months that you don't have a Cyber Beast on your hands, because they might be like,
true,
guys, we've engineered it into a corner, we don't know what to do, and now we're working on it, and then you'd have more of a worst thing we deal with is like we don't have full self-driving right now or any autopilot or something like that.
Right.
Like, I feel really confident in my Cybertruck. I mean, I've got a low VIN, so I know that kind of puts it in a different class. But I mean, I just feel I've bought 3 Teslas prior to the Cybertruck, and all of them have their little panel gap issues or little quirks or some sort of a rattle. It's like it's just one of those Tesla things, but when the Cybertruck came, like, I didn't have any misalignments. I had the one front A-pillar kind of adjustment that they fixed with, like, a, you know, turn of a screw over 10 minutes, and it was fixed. Everything else about it just feels so robust and well put together. So I'm hoping that everybody can kind of get to that point where they're going to experience the same Cybertrucks as those first early deliveries, because I feel like we got really good manufacturing quality.
I hope so. I think someone had mentioned that, oh, it seems like the Cybertruck was rushed. But
oh, yeah, that was the big article.
Probably the
opposite.
I saw
that, yeah.
It's like, I think the dual motor wasn't rushed. I think it was well done, but the Cyber Beast feels a little rushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is completely different motors. It's a much tighter fit of everything in there, so there's not much room for error.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, why don't we jump into the batteries.
Got down to the battery.
He sure did. That Sandy Monroe crazy guy.
This is tear open a battery. Lucky.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, he tore this thing up. So, I guess what his findings were was there's a lot of room in there.
Yeah.
And we're talking about vertical room, right?
Yes.
Like if you had a glass, it's like half full, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could see right in there.
Yeah.
And there's some space there.
Yeah, so if all of those little dots are solder points for the batteries being attached to each other to create the series and parallels. I mean that could be quite a bit of space. Or actually those might be thermal management next to the big soda cans shaped circles. Those are probably the 4680s. Yeah, there's so much room left in there. Honestly, when I saw the story come out, everybody started talking about it, I was figuring that it was the whole, okay, you know, the first Model X was a 75 kilowatt hour battery, and now they don't sell anything smaller than a 100 kilowatt hour battery. And I wonder how much engineering redesign time was eaten up by, oh, we got to squeeze a bit more battery in there to really make it worth it. Oh, well, what if we just, you know, build it early to have the space for it, and then... Hey, later on, we're gonna bump up the battery, the native battery on it, the range to 400 miles. Like, what if that's just the standard range after all this?
Yeah, because it's got the physical space for it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, yeah, because it's also interesting the comment that was made by one of the engineers on Twitter as well, or X. He kind of said it was, yeah, like half full.
Yeah.
So it kind of alludes to the question of, okay, well, are they going to fill it anytime soon? Like, are we going to get a long-range Cybertruck in a couple of years? How does that work in with the extended battery?
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know. It's a tough one, because if their idea or their thinking is we'll be able to fit more batteries into the Cybertruck as it is... then why come out with the range extender? Why even announce that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so
not to also mention the proposed 500-mile range when we announced it. So, and then I think that was a big upset, but I think the range extender might have been like almost like a PR move in a way. That they're like, well, it's not, you know, base range is not there yet, but we'll give you an extra battery that appease that, but it seems like that Cybertrucks, you know, 5 years from now could be made with bigger batteries because the space is there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, just because I think that's going to help convince people to purchase it, especially in like you're saying, in 5 years. I mean, it's not going to cost $100,000 in 5 years, you know.
Right.
I think it'll come down some because it has to. But you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm happy with mine. I wish it had 500 miles of range, but I'm happy with the fact that it's a low VIN number and it's a foundation series, even though they're making a million of them. Mm-hmm. And so that's I wouldn't get rid of mine to get a new one. I really look at mine as like a future DeLorean, is what I keep saying.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to hold on to it forever.
Looks like as well. That's a great point. Speaking of big batteries, the GMC Denali also was revealed this week.
Yes. Yes, and it was.
That's looking a lot better than the Silverado. I think I've mentioned before, my qualm with the Silverado is that they went with the Avalanche body and it looks bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this one is better. And it has kind of a similar utility where the back seats next to the cab actually fold into the cab, so you have space that goes inside and out of the cabin, which is very unique, and I think that's a great idea to extend your bed.
I want to see if they show it here. So yeah, same thing. They're saying 754 horsepower, 400 miles, 785 pound-feet of torque.
Oh, it's a heavy boy. 4.5 seconds here to 60.
Mm-hmm.
It's more horsepower than the Cybertruck, yet slower.
Look at the trailering. It's only 9,500 pounds. So that's something to think about. Denalis are always very beautiful. So, I mean, the interior. I mean, it depends on if you like that type of look, the wood look and all that. But I like it. It's a good looking vehicle. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. See.
Okay. That went a little crazy. Right there.
Folds down into the cab. I think that's very unique. Like, that's new for
trucks.
Well,
that's Avalanche. The Avalanche had that capability.
Oh, it did. You're right. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they went with the Avalanche body.
They just put battery packs into Avalanche and said, hey, let's redo it and make it electric and give the people what they want. They want an Avalanche. No, I'm excited about the GMC Sierra Denali. It's a good looking vehicle. If they can keep their promises on range and capabilities. I wish that tow was a little bit higher though. I wish it was able to tow a little bit more.
Perhaps.
Yeah, but you know, it'll satisfy those who want a normal looking truck, but they want an EV.
You know. Which Rivian has filled that market, I think, for a little while, but now it's kind of overtaken by the big boys.
Yeah, the problem with the Rivian, in my opinion, I love Rivian, and I love the way they look. I love everything that they're doing with them. My thing, when they first revealed the R1T, the R1S, I'm in love with. That thing's a gorgeous, as Will knows. It's a gorgeous freaking vehicle, in my personal opinion. But the R1T, I was really excited about. You know, I already had my reservation for the Cybertruck, but when they were coming out with the R1T, I was all about it until I saw the size of it. And I just went, it's like a Tacoma. It's like a it's like a Colorado, which is, there's nothing wrong with those trucks. Those are fantastic trucks. Just, I wanted a full-size truck. As you guys know, I tow and I do a lot of things with my truck, and I wanted a full-size truck. Yeah. And so that's my thing with the Rivian, is it, if they just made it bigger, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so, I think their goal with the R1T was to kind of, and it seems to be a part of their whole mission, is kind of, it's like outdoorsy utility, not necessarily all things truck utility. Like, they, you know, put a kayak in the back, surfboards or something, you know, mixture of wetsuits so that they're not stinking up the cab or something. You know, it's that's kind of what I've said before about Rivian. It's kind of, they've kind of defined their lane, and they, for the most part, stay in it. Like, that's their whole brand, it seems to be. So it's like, good on them, because they're not getting bogged down on some of the other arguments that are happening around the EV world. They're just like, it's an outdoor truck, and it's fantastic. And the R1S is fantastic. You know?
It fits that camping truck need.
Mm-hmm.
But funny story, this weekend I met another Cybertruck owner, and he was like, yeah, I work for a competitor. I'm pretty sure it's Rivian. He owns a Cybertruck.
Yeah.
But he owned a Cybertruck?
Yeah, he's got one, and then he works it.
I mean, and that's...
It's just funny.
I feel like that's a valid piece of history to acknowledge, is that, you know, you go back 5 years, there were no other EVs really, in my opinion, worth considering. Now you've got two big boys, and you got all these other big legacy, quote unquote, legacy automakers joining into the fray. I'm like, cool. Let's see what these things can really do. Let's see what some new engineering can really capitalize on these vehicles.
Yeah, that reminds me. I did, same owner, I did get to see the spare tire. So that was really cool. Mm. It's for $1,250. They have it up on the site. I don't know what the actual wheel and tire would be without all the kit. Maybe $1,000. I don't know. But it comes with a tire changing kit. It's basically just like a piston jack that you can use with it, as well as like a cover for the tire that fits in the bed, and then tie down straps that fit into the hooks. So it makes it pretty easy to carry a spare tire, which I think is really needed if you wanted to like do lots of like off-road or overlanding kind of work. Just in case.
Yeah, that's the reason why you would want extra tire, right? Is to be able to go off-roading with it, which I am trying to find.
Or at least a compressor. Which there's off-road park here about 35 minutes away that I'm really interested to go try out. It's called, I can probably say it because it's called Hidden Falls Adventure Park. They put on their Instagram also this week that Tesla was out there to test their rear differential lock. So hopefully that's coming soon. Yeah, so that's exciting. Sounds like it did pretty well. So I'm curious to see that update come through, and I'm curious to go try it.
Well, here's some footage of somebody. Doing some off-roading.
Which this is, I tell people this is the most fun off-road I've ever had in any vehicle. It's just this thing, because you just have the instant torque.
Mm-hmm.
And you could peel out whatever you want to do donuts. It's just so fun. Jump it.
And it's indestructible.
Anyhow, off-roading crazy. Is usually like a little bit of momentum management because you're driving an internal combustion engine, so you got that delay in throttle to torque to horsepower than you do with these cars. It's like tap go, just fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a different experience. You have all that power at your disposal at any moment. It's just
a funny thing about that.
Hang on, can I tell a funny story?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is why I don't own a Cyber Beast and why it's a good idea. So
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
My wife and I were going out to lunch a couple days ago, and we were pulling out after we had eaten, and I'm stopped at a light. I'm in the number one lane further most right, and then there's a dedicated right turn lane next to me. A dude pulls up in a car, and I'm at the front. I'm right at the light, at the line, and the dude pulls up in a car, and he's got his Model Y, and he rolls down the window. So I roll down my window. He's like, "Hey, man, where's mine?" I'm like, "Oh, dude, I'm sure it's on the train on the way here. You're probably going to get it any minute now." And he's like, "Yeah, man, I've been waiting, man. I can't wait." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, well, watch this." I get the green light and just punch it. Boo, right through the intersection. I mean, I had the green light. I wasn't doing it. I mean, I accelerated aggressively, but I did not excessively exceed the speed limit. It was probably like a 50, and I was like 55. That's my story, and I stick to it. But anyway, so I get to the next light. Who pulls up next to me? San Bernardino's finest. So he pulls up next to me. He gets in close. He has the window down, and I was like, "Howdy, officer." I can't even know what I'm saying. I was like, "Howdy, officer." I'm in a pickup truck. I guess that's what I do now. And he was like, he said to me,
"Did you tip your cap?"
I didn't have a hat. I'm like, I'm growing my hair back. I had nothing to do. I was just like, partner, nothing. So yeah. He was just like, I was just like, "Howdy." And he's like, "That's a really, really nice truck, but let's not do that again." And I'm like, "You got it, officer. Absolutely."
That's funny. And then, awesome. And then when it turned green, did you do this and then take off?
Come on.
My wife was already pretty mortified. She was already like, "Oh God, I'm not gonna have to drive this thing home, am I? You got arrested."
Yeah, no, we don't need you getting arrested. Okay,
that's awesome.
You gotta take it easy.
It reminds me, if you guys are listening and you came here from the Farzad podcast that I mentioned, or Farzad video that I mentioned, my brother was on that. His police department actually has two Model Ys that they use for their cruise cars. And they've got like a strip of interstate that goes through their county. So they'll take the Model Ys up there, and they're able to like accelerate, catch up to people really fast, usually faster than they even have time to realize that they're being chased by cops. Yeah.
Yep. Other than range, I mean, it's a great police vehicle because no one's going to outrun you.
Yeah. And now the Cybertruck is bulletproof. It's even better.
Yeah.
I just am dying to see that as like a police vehicle with like plates on top.
So your brother's law enforcement?
Yep. Yeah.
What does he say about the Cybertruck?
Oh, he loves it. Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, it's much faster than what they've got. And yeah, it's wild. Yeah, all good things to say about it.
So we have let's see what he said. So we got a comment from Mark, and he's made a funny comment about your story, Will. He says it would have been hilarious if you would have happened to have a box of donuts with you when that police officer pulled up next to you. But I wanted to talk about, so I'm actually just finished earlier today my editing on my update of my accident. So I'm going to be posting it tomorrow. But in that video, I talk about how and I wanted your guys' opinion on this, how I think the fact that they didn't put a screen in the rear view mirror helped contribute possibly to me not avoiding or me, you know, getting into this accident, because I noticed that, or I'm used to always looking in my mirror, right? When I'm driving, I probably look in my rear view mirror more so than my side mirrors. When I'm just going straight, if I'm obviously changing lanes, I'm looking at my side view mirrors, but the fact that they don't have a screen up there, and it boggles my mind why they didn't do that. Do you guys feel the same way, or are you guys kind of like, eh, it doesn't really bother me?
Kind of to the point where I'd almost want to just rip the mirror off, because I've gotten used to using the camera. Rearview mirror.
I'm like definitely going to remove it.
Yeah, on the way home, even today, I had the tonneau cover open, and I hit the camera button because I'd rather have the digital camera. However, what I do like about like the actual mirrors is I feel like you can see farther through the mirror than you can the camera. Like certain times I'm trying to see like, okay, do I identify that car? I can't really see because it's so small. Whereas I feel like I could look through the mirrors and see, but I'm with you there. Like the rear view mirror, is ridiculously small, but not only is it small, just the design of the sight line is also crunched.
Yes.
So it's like you have a mirror and it's like you're looking like this through the
mirror
because you can't see anything.
I just drove around today for the first time with the tonneau open just to give it a try. And I'm like, with where I have my seat and my height in general, looking into that mirror, It not only is it the sliver of the window that's back there, but also the gate obstructs a significant portion of the bottom view. I'm like, this thing is less than worthless. So I'm probably going to pull it out. Somebody posted on the Cybertruck forum. It's super simple to remove. It's like two pieces of plastic, one screw, and you're done, or something like that.
I'm really hoping that somebody makes some type of mirror with a screen in it that can replace it.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I would like that if they can tap into the camera that's back there. And by the way, that camera sucks. That thing's horrible resolution as well. So
yeah, it's almost better just to drive with the full cameras on at that point, which I'll pull up once in a while.
Well, and in the meantime, if you want a different solution, here's
MagBack official.
Oh, okay. I did hear about this. Yeah,
have you guys seen this?
Was this April Fool's? It was. Okay, that's right. It was on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I thought that this was hilarious.
Cyber screen.
full screen.
So he just put a TV back there,
and then he puts like a real camera. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the magnet.
I mean, if it works, is it stupid?
No, it is not.
I mean, it's practical.
Yeah, I saw that, and I thought that was... It kind of just went with my whole gripe with the whole situation, and I went, these guys are hilarious. The fact that these guys had that creativity to do this is just amazing to me.
Yeah.
So kudos to MagBack Official and their Instagram.
Oh, they Except, have a cool clip that hooks onto the screen. I might actually have to look into that. It looks nice. To clip your phone up against the screen, because like I saw early on that people were complaining that like with iPhones, if you have your phone like in the little cubby, iPhone, the notifications come up from the bottom of the phone.
Yes,
now,
you don't see it,
and they're like you don't see it, but it's like uh-huh. other people were arguing. It's like, well, you shouldn't be looking at your phone while you're driving.
But okay, that's fair, but we're all going to look, so yeah. At least make it easier for me to look.
Yeah, I just want to be like, okay, are there any other adults in the room want to answer this or what?
Yeah. If I'm at a stoplight, I just like pull up my... I literally just do like the little lift up and then put it back in. Check.
Well, you have to do that anyways because the damn phones overheat, so you have to just take it out every so often just to kind of let it cool down. So
totally.
That's also something that... frustrated with, as you can tell.
It was one of the 20 things you didn't like.
22, okay.
Oh, 22.
And I missed a few. Looking back on it, I was like, oh, I forgot that one.
I just had the thought. I thought it would be interesting to see like Elon try to sell the Cybertruck now that it's done. Like now that it's here, we don't have that mirror. Like you want to see somebody kind of answer for that, you know, be like, hey, what's up with the fucking mirror? This is pointless. You know, just have somebody try and pitch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that came up right away when they brought out the concept. People are like, hey, wait, there's no side mirrors. That's mm-hmm. not right. And they're like, well, either legislation will catch up or you can just take them off. Okay.
Yeah.
Something. Yep. But I mean, I feel like the side mirrors are actually pretty useful still, even with the cameras. Like the rear view mirror, I think, was the mishap. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the side mirrors are okay. They're fine. I have no issues with them other than towing, but that's not for everyone.
The trucks too.
Yeah, that's not But the rear view mirror, that's a hot mess in my personal opinion. I know you said that you're used to looking at the screen. I'm still not used to it. I catch myself looking up and I'm like, then I look down.
When I know I'm used to it is like when I'll jump into my wife's car, it's like a Kia Sorento, and I'm like, all my muscle memory is like, wait a minute, hold up. And I have to like retrain my brain to like not just like unhook my seatbelt and walk away, but like, oh, I actually have to turn off the car and lock it.
I always have a problem with the turn signals. You know, when you're finished in the Cybertruck, the yoke turn signals, and then you go to another car and you're like, Oh, there's a whole stalk. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the dark ages.
Yeah, when people were uncivilized.
Lane change stuff.
I wanted to also talk about this. Have you guys had this happen to you?
I literally had it today. So I had noticed that, I mean, you know, the Tesla includes a thumb drive in there. But before, when I first got my truck home, I didn't really notice it, or it was working properly, but then eventually it was like, no space, or something like that. So I formatted it, and that was when I think I did a post somewhere and being like, guys, remember to format the thumb drive. But I think, this guy realized that it's like, it doesn't delete the old files. So you have to remember to do that, because today, when I was looking on the car screen, I noticed that my dash cam hadn't been working. I'm like, what the heck? And it just said no storage, so I just tapped the delete clips. And it started recording it. I'm like, oh, that's stupid.
That is stupid. And once again, shameless plug to my video that's coming out tomorrow. That I mention because I had dash cam issues. That the fact that it wasn't formatted at delivery. And then now this, that it's not, you know, overriding Mm-mm. previous footage. I mean, it's just something so simple. I don't understand why these type of things shouldn't be the issues. No. You know, you shouldn't have. I get some of the other stuff. You know, we don't have full self-driving. We don't have autopilot. We don't have automatic windshield wipers. So certain things I could kind of understand. This, I just don't understand this. I'm sure this is something that they could just very quickly fix. I don't know.
Simple quality of life kind of updates, but they're too focused on going to Mars.
And I did get the Cybertruck update that just rolled out today, so I haven't.
Yeah, see,
it'll take a couple of days to fill the drive again before I see if it continues working. But maybe that was one of the bug fixes that, you know.
Maybe so.
Yeah, the minor updates. I don't know. Like I I don't think I've ever mentioned on the podcast, but I work in game development in my day job, and I would much prefer like more thorough like patch notes.
Yes.
Even if it's just like a minor
update. Oh my god.
Like, if it's a minor update, tell us what it is, because I feel like it's so easy to put out a patch and be like, hey, it's a minor update.
Yeah.
And then the devs are like, well, we got this stuff in here, you know, like they yeah. really, you know, you got the good stuff on here that we didn't want to talk about or didn't want to admit to, you know.
And you don't even need to disseminate the entire patch notes to everybody, but just keep a link right there that just says, if you'd like to see the full stuff of that, what got resolved, click here.
Totally.
No, I agree. I hate when it just says minor fixes.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
What?
Appreciate it. Yeah, because we get so excited, right? We see that you have an update. You're like, oh my god, what am I getting? It's like Christmas. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And then minor fixes. You're like, what?
Or like the little and minor annoyances that we come up with because we drive it day to day. Like, I want to know if like those things are fixed. Like,
fixed, yeah.
It might have not been like a huge issue that got, you know, millions of comments, but I want to know if it's fixed or not.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there was apparently some bad weather out your way, Chase, where...
where... it was funny because I was taunting it in a way. There was weather that came through, I think, last week, and I think Farzad had, like, made a post about it. And I'm like, well, good thing the Cybertruck is hail-proof. Because he's like, oh, sorry, severe weather coming in. And then this is like after the fact, another round of storms came through that was projecting 3-inch hail. And I've heard that the Cybertruck glass is rated for up to 2 inches of hail. So it's just interesting that we've had the situation here that someone in Austin parked next to, you know, two other vehicles that didn't have any damage. Only the Cybertruck received hail damage in the windshield, which is interesting. Like, there's a couple of thoughts behind that, but it's just kind of poetic at this point that the armored glass was the only one that failed.
The armored glass. the famous armored glass. Well, I don't think I ever told you guys, but the first week that I took delivery of my Cybertruck, I think the very next weekend, I went up to my sister-in-law's up north.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And as we were driving, she calls my wife and says, hey, I just want to let you guys know it's hailing really bad over here. And I can't tell you how like stressed out I was in that moment. I'm thinking, because number one, I had just got it wrapped, and it's not PPF, it's just vinyl wrap. So I'm thinking that was more my concern. This thing's gonna just it's just gonna shred my wrap and it's gonna damage the truck. And it's so luckily by the time we got there, there was no more hail, and it didn't hail for the duration of our visit. But so I understand how this guy probably.
Yeah. What, someone had a good point that because all the other windshields are curved, that actually could help deflect some of the strikes and some of the energy. But mm-hmm. because it's flat, it's actually absorbing a lot of the energy. And notice that the crack is actually on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So the edges are the most vulnerable. So like it's probably like a strike that just happened right there on the edge at the perfect spot to crack it.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part about this, if you scroll down, you can see it cost an estimate of $2,326.75 to fix the windshield.
I was just
going to
ask that.
Like that hurts.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, that's something to consider. That's very, like, a big consideration. Like, I think if anything, I would probably want to, like, run to go put it into the garage if I know that there's going to be significant hail coming.
Yeah. Lesson learned for this guy.
Thankfully, we didn't have, like, too many issues. Where we got about, like, a quarter inch hail, so it really wasn't a big deal. And it was out on a rental, too, so that was extra stressful for me. Like, where is this guy going to take it?
Mm-hmm.
Never know.
Well, the whole rental thing stresses me out. But you guys are better men than me. I wanted to show what's going to be our wrap of the week. Let me get into this. I don't know if you guys have seen this one.
Yes, I did see this. It's beauties. It's so good. And it's celebrities, too.
Yeah. That's a beautiful color.
Mm-hmm.
Glossy teal. Love it.
There are some colors that definitely play nicely. And I think it's colors when you have the ability to see the shading of the car. Because too many cars, if there's too light of a color, the shading of the lower body and the upper body, you don't see the difference in the two. So then it looks even lower resolution. But with this colors like this, where it can be in shadow and it's the same color as the top line, I think it looks really nice.
Interesting enough, here is something I haven't seen any other wraps do, which I agree. Same thing. Anything that contrasts with the black looks great with this. Anything that blends in with the black also looks great. So like dark colors look good, high contrast colors look good. But the interesting one is on the side panel, even right there. If you're able to pause, but you can see they put like a black streak along the bottom side of the side, which then allows the almost to line up perfectly with the front and the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that line goes perfectly straight across.
On the side. Yep.
It looks so good.
It really does. I noticed that as well, and I did. I can't pause it, but it's. I did notice that, and I do agree with you. I like that touch. And I don't know, Will, if you decided whether you're going to go this weekend, but he will be there at that event.
Ooh,
so.
Okay. Yeah, I was planning on going. I figured I'd give it a go.
Yeah, so I definitely want to go stop over there and say hello and let him know that he was this week's wrap of the week.
Totally.
And I love the badging. I love the Cybertruck badging, the Cyber Beast. It looks hot. He did a good job.
Yeah, really good job. And then moving on from wrap of the week, we always have to go to what were they thinking?
In the meantime, just it's not valuable information to know it all, but just so you know, I think 2-inch hail is something like 50 newtons of force, and the and 9mm rounds at close range are about 475 newton meters of force. So it's safe to say that the windshield can apparently not withstand more than 10% of what the side panels can, apparently.
Interesting.
And that's the math. So.
And that's why we have you here, Will.
Like Leroy Jenkins, I would have never run the numbers before we run in.
Sorry, yeah. You know what? This is my first year living with what I have now acknowledged as autism. So little moments like this, I just accept. I'm like, dude, I kind of wonder, like, what is the force of a 2-inch hail? And I was like, okay, 2-inch hail, 1-inch radius, water, it's basically about half a kilogram is the total mass. I'm like, okay, yeah, so it was a long rabbit hole while you guys were talking. But I was listening, which that's important to remember.
We appreciate that. I really do, so.
Yeah.
It's good. I was like, kind of thinking myself, like, I wonder if like the diameter actually just does make a difference, like if a smaller hail going faster is worse for the glass.
Well, I think that they all hit terminal velocity, so they can only do 9.8 meters per second times the mass when it actually on the moment of impact. So if it's more massive, so basically there's a size of hail that is equivalent at g of what the 9mm round exerts on the same subject. Why did you guys let me drag you down this
no, I'm just
math hole?
No, he's just testing.
It's good. It's awesome.
All right. Well, let's get to what were they thinking? Just to get you off of that, Will. Just to let you calm down.
Please, Jesus. I'm gonna be doing math the rest of the night. Oh yeah, I like it.
Well, this is one of those things where I think it's cute, right? Did their kids do this?
Yes.
Or did they do
it?
Yeah,
so.
I believe
okay,
it was
so the kids story.
Okay, so then it's cute. It's cute. I like it, but it's also when we put it in the category of what were they thinking, I look at it more, not so much the fact that they let their kids do it and they let their kids have fun. Mm-hmm. It's more that the fact that they had the courage to allow their kids to do this. So I love it. More of the, what were you thinking? But I agree. Well, I love it. I think it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's no, there's no limits on, I think what, we've been facing the same boring ass cars for years, that now that this thing is out and we've got one, it's like, I love seeing people push the envelope of what you can do with it. Cause right now it's kind of an early run vehicle. They don't know its future. So in a way we all kind of are early run owners in a work of art, and to treat it, as a canvas for your kids even, it's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I just love little stuff like this.
I'm not going to lie. It makes me feel like a huge jerk though, because my son, at least that first 2-3 weeks, I mean, he'd get in the car and he's always at the park playing basketball and stuff. He gets in the car and he's got dirty hands, and I'm always like, don't touch this and don't touch that. And then, these people go, here's a marker, have at it. I feel like a jerk.
I want to believe that this, look, your situations are very different. This seems like more of a, hey, here's a marker, let's work on this together. And, I've got the screen protector on my rear screen in my car, and I still watch my daughter damn near put her feet up on it, like kicking it every time she wants to get out of the thing. I'm like, no, don't, we just live at the mercy of our children. But I just like, and that's why I like that they have these photos. It's just like cool memories, little work of art together. It's just awesome. But yeah, once inside the car, kids don't touch a damn thing.
There's an event here in Austin this week. I just sent you a link called Cyberpunk, where someone is going to paint a truck during the event.
Oh, that's right.
And what's kind of cool about it, if you happen to be listening and be around Austin or Central Texas, this is a Cybertruck only event. So your ticket for entry is your Cybertruck.
Really?
That's so interesting.
It'll be interesting to see. We'll get a lot of cool, a lot of cool locals to come through. Hopefully a lot of Tesla employees. That'll be really fun.
Now, what if you bring your Cybertruck and you're approached by an artist who's there who's like, yo, I want to paint your truck?
I don't know. It could be interesting.
He's going to say I have PPF. You're not going to be able to penetrate that.
Jason's like, I'll wipe it off if I don't like it.
Here's a marker.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this week too, Franz and some people were signing people's Teslas and Cybertrucks at one of the events this week, right?
Mm.
I did see.
Were they? I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't see that. So are you going to this?
Yep, we'll be going. I have to pick. It's funny because I have a rental that ends at 4 p.m. that day.
Oh.
So I'll be picking it up and going straight there.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hopefully they kept it clean for you.
On time.
And they're on time.
We just cleaned it, and I'm taking it over there tomorrow at 4. So it'll be a longer rental. Should be good.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice,
I'm excited.
Nice.
I'll be there with a couple of the other trucks that I've met through some of the other events local, so we'll see some familiar trucks.
Look at you, Chase. You are just out there, social butterfly.
It helps with Austin, because there's so many people here that are hyped about it. I saw that there was an employee event that someone had posted about on one of the groups that I'm like, man, I wish I could have gotten invited to that. But it was a Tesla employee only event.
I mean, no hatred against Austin, but this is probably the coolest thing that's happening in Texas. So,
This is I told someone this is the most Texas USA made thing.
Yeah, man.
Where
are the cyber belt buckles? Why hasn't anybody cashed in? Where are they? I wanna see.
There is Tesla belt buckles that they put on the robots.
Oh gosh!
I don't know if you've seen.
I've seen the Tesla. The circle with the logo and stuff. I'm talking. Yeah. I want to see a Cybertruck when it's a low poly, low poly buckle.
Yes. That's the triangle design.
Yep.
As the buckle. Mm-hmm. So it's a really wide buckle.
That's amazing.
But yeah, now we need to make this happen. Along with that cowboy hat, apparently.
I'll put it on the shelf next to my cyber whistle.
We need cyber cowboy.
No,
hats.
What you got to do, Will, is you got to get the cowboy hat.
Oh, man.
You got to get the belt buckle. You got to put the whistle on the side of your mouth. Put your windows down and just everywhere you go, just be doing this and blowing your whistle.
That's a good idea. I'm going to put the whistle in the car so I can drive around.
You really should.
I want to hear. I actually want to see a train horn because, like, it's the only like the typical truck thing to do is put a train horn in it. I want to see someone put a train horn in a Cybertruck.
They really should have
seen like big horns on it, but a train horn.
We did see that. That guy was crazy putting those things. But that's what happens, right? When you a big YouTuber and you're making all kinds of money, you go, "Yeah, I got a Cybertruck. Let's put some horns on the damn thing. Who cares?"
Oh God, that big horn thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No accounting for taste.
Well, guys, I don't know. Do you guys have anything else?
Let me go back through the chest here. I mean, I had you know, my weekly tinfoil hat that I think I burden you guys with in the messages about the full self-driving stuff. You know, but it looks like we're already half wrong because the Model S and X legacies are starting to get full self-driving tonight. So literally the Cybertruck, their newest vehicle, is the only one without functioning V12 to drive.
So which makes sense. Why don't you explain that a little bit more, Will? Because we had a discussion in our texting.
Yeah, so I just kind of talking on Twitter a little bit with Green the Only, the infamous Tesla hacker. He was pointing out the fact that you know, the full self-driving delays coming to the different vehicles could be because I guess as far as what he was explaining, the Model 3, Y, the new S and X all roughly have the same camera placement, the same position in proximity to each other, the same angle that they're capturing, the same data effectively, with the exception of, I think, the legacy S and X like had a slightly different backup camera or something, like a different resolution. But he was pointing that out, and it's like, you know, he was joking on Twitter, and I, you know, the back and forth was, it might have been the reason why the legacies were delayed was because one camera out of eight on the 3Y, S and X was in a slightly different place, so it takes them longer to validate. And I'm like, you know what? That actually explains all of V11 as well, because V11, the legacies were always a week late. Now this is April 10th, so maybe it's closer to 2 weeks late. But if that's what they were facing with getting the legacy S and X onto the V12 block, it makes me wonder if they're struggling with something similar with trying to get it into the Cybertruck, because I know, you know, the cameras again may be different, that what they capture in exact perspectives might be different, but you know, we're not getting any information.
Yeah, the height is different.
Yeah,
like that alone is completely dynamic and unique to the Cybertruck. So
and then whatever,
I would be shocked if
and then like whatever they train it for, then they still have to go back and make sure that for the Cybertruck, because the rear wheel steering completely changes the dynamics of it compared to anything else they've trained. So, yeah, I was basically running the numbers in my head, and I'm like, okay, so if they, you know, it took them longer to get, I think, the 165 roughly thousand Model S and X legacy ones. Are the full self-driving ones that they just got now with V12 versus the 4.7 million Model 3 and Y and the refreshed S and X's. So I'm like, okay, so but they and then they have 3,000 Cybertrucks on the road, and they may be more complex. So if it takes them that much longer and it's that much smaller of a sample size, I, you know, if we see full self-driving soon, I'll be stoked. But I was like, dear God, does this mean that it could be like a year? Do they need that many Cybertrucks on the road contributing data to get it to work properly?
I think so. I if I had to put my money down, I would not say we were going to see full self-driving with the Cybertruck until next year.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there's so many factors, and there's just not enough data.
Yeah.
They're going to need the data. And hopefully the ramp-up will help that, but they're going to need the data.
Well, it did kind of make me wonder. I was like, okay, so if the neural net requires, you know, X number of functioning nodes contributing data independently, I'm like, oh, is that why they have so many trucks? Like, it's seemingly sitting in parking lots or sitting in delivery centers, not being delivered. Like, they've manufactured them and they want to get them all contributing data in whatever way they have to. But I don't know. That would be ridiculous, but
it's one of the mysteries of this world.
Yeah. And I mean, if Tesla would tell us, anything. But I'm curious to see. Like, I feel like this is going to be a really weird year where we're just going to get a lot of gotchas out of nowhere with them. It'll be like, you know,
oh yeah,
July, full self-driving for Cybertruck comes early. By the way, you know, August, Roadsters are available. Like, what? You know, like, it just seems like anything could happen. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I still think they're going to tease or at least show the Model 2, I think, in August when they talk about the robo-taxis. But, yeah, I don't think we're going to see full self-driving. I hope we get at least, like, the parking assist and the, you know, autopilot uh-huh. updates here soon. Because I feel like that'd be simpler. But, yeah, what do I know?
So
I think autopilot was satisfy a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, full self-driving...
Prior to the RoboTaxi event, I was kind of willing to be like, you know, there's a good chance that if this full self-driving trial does really well, and I'm talking really well, just people are super stoked, they get a lot of orders for it, then they're like, all right, well, let's ride out this price point for a little while until we threaten a price change this summer. But the other thought that I think that I told you guys, or somebody, it's like, it might be possible that they would look at the semi-lackluster issues and everybody being like, guys, we've heard you talking about full self-driving, level 5 autonomy for so long. We know it's that maybe Tesla would come back and be like, okay, you know what? We're selling enhanced autopilot again. You know, we'll go back to the $6,000 or $7,000 enhanced autopilot and then bump the price for full self-driving to 15 or 20. Because I think that would actually satisfy the most customers, because that's a lot mm-hmm. of people have been clamoring for, like, just give me enhanced autopilot, just let it change lanes and take me off the highway when mm-hmm. we're supposed to, but I don't need it to drive me to the parking space. Mm-hmm. So
which is kind of an interesting thing, because I think that even if we see full self-driving just dropped into everyone's laps with the beta or like the trial, mm-hmm. I'm curious of how many people actually use it. Like, how many people are like at the ready at this point today, like, ready to just trust it fully. I think it's only going to be people that are like, that have bought into it and they've heard, like, they understand, they're following along, they get that, okay, yeah, it's ready now. Now I'm going to give it a try. But I'm talking about, like, people that are just normal. They don't pay attention to anything Tesla.
Mm.
They just have a Tesla. They just got the update. Do you think they're going to try it? Because the consensus I've always talked to people, like, about Tesla, they're very hesitant about the full self-driving.
Yeah, I think that it'll like this month will reveal to Tesla if people are willing to test it or if they need to really double down on getting people to try the full self-driving when they take delivery and follow that mandate. And I guess I'm just still curious, like, okay, so, you know, you want to get people enthusiastic and buying full self-driving, you better give them a reason. Because everybody kind of sees that the fix is in. They're like, you know, people whoever took it seriously to buy it, they've found the tweets. They found all the articles being like, yep, Elon's promising autonomy by the end of the year again. And I think that, you know, people will ask around even after this trial. They're just going to be like, what am I paying for? Because it doesn't do the thing that they seem to tell me it's doing. So,
right.
And then there are the people who are just like, I drive my cars. I don't like having an autopilot. I want to drive it.
Yeah, that's my wife. My wife has had full self-driving in her 3 and then autopilot in both the S and the 3, and she doesn't use either one of them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean,
it's interesting, and I get that, because, like, when I 2018, I think, was it? No. It might have been 2019 that I rented a Model 3 when they first came out with on-ramp to off-ramp. It was around that time.
Yeah.
And I gave it a test, and it was pretty, like, shaky. Like, just, like, giving up control and just seeing things that are happening and
yeah.
letting it, like, make its decisions. Like, it's nerve-wracking. And it was going through, like, construction zones and, like, unnormal, like driving conditions on a highway. And it handled it like a champ, but it was still, like, you know, like, puckering there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then there's always the occasional where it jerks and it, you know.
Yeah. Like, at that time, it was still having issues where, like, where the line, like, when a lane was kind of merging into your lane for, mm-hmm. like, an on-ramp,
mm-hmm.
it would be, like, it would see the line on the right side and it'd be, like, oh, and then yeah. it, like, reconnects. Yeah, it was doing that whole thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Or if the lane splits
weird.
And, yeah, if it slightly becomes wider, suddenly the car jumps around back left and,
yeah.
left and right, yeah.
So I mean, it's come a long way since then, and it's exciting to see. But yeah, I'm with you there. It takes a little bit of a leap of faith to just let go of the wheel at 70 to 80.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been doing it since 2017 with you know, enhanced autopilot and all that. And mm-hmm. once you trust it, it is still the best that's out there, in my opinion, for what you can buy and drive back then and now. I mean, I'm thoroughly impressed with it. It just does have a lot of gaps that you have to step over, or else you'll trip over them. And that's, I think, the big problem, because the other systems that other people talk about, they may function less or at a lower intelligence level or protective level, but it does very well at the level that it does or that it's working at. So.
And Will, what about Rivian? Can you speak on whatever their system that they're using? Because I've only driven a Rivian for 5 minutes.
So yeah, I mean, the Driver Plus really, it really just kind of looks like a lane assist. It's very rudimentary. It only works on highway roads, and it's only roads that I guess have either been mapped or otherwise approved for use with Driver Plus. It does an okay job navigating lanes and stuff, but there has been at least once, I think, in the last week where I was driving on the freeway. I was in the carpool lane because I actually had people in the car, and I want to say the road started curving, and I remember seeing a warning on the sign being like, you know, be aware, the road, you know, curvature detected ahead or whatever. And I remember the car got like a little freaky close to the one side where I kind of had to take over. And I'm like, man, I haven't had to do that in so long in a Tesla. There's been times that I've taken over at the street level, but almost never at the highway level.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it seems like nobody that talks at Rivian from and all the different communication channels, that nobody really kind of brags about what they're doing with Driver Plus. So I really think that they're just one of those companies that they're like, yeah, we included it because everybody kind of has it. It's off the shelf. Maybe it's a Mobileye system. Maybe it's whoever. And, you know, they may just be like, yeah, we've got the 360-degree view around the car. We've got, you know, HD cameras all around. So someday when Tesla wants to license the thing to us, we'll take it. But, you know, or whoever gets there first.
Same with like Ford has got their Blue Cruise. Mm-hmm. I think that's the same thing. It's like they're prepping the capability to be able to license it.
Yeah.
Because they're not spending the money on the AI to actually do it themselves.
No, that's true. I think Will's hit it on the head, I think, last episode. Or I think they're just waiting for Tesla to... And I think Elon, I should have had that prepared, but I think Elon alluded to that, right, this week?
Yeah, I posted, I think that was that tweet that somebody was saying, you know, oh, I'm just looking forward to the day when, you know, it can be licensed in other auto manufacturers. And Elon was like, we'd be happy to discuss that. And I was like, yeah, that's what they've been aiming for this whole time. Because vision only, specifically 360-degree vision, you know, that's something that all the cars will eventually be able to do or have as a part of their system. And if you could feed 360 video into the system to tell it to make decisions, I think that that's the key to licensing it. You know, they'll just give them a system and be like, you connect the rest of the stuff to the turning and whatever, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that in 20 years we'll have regulation where you can't get on the highway without some kind of autopilot enabled or engaged?
I think that it's possible that that like terrestrial travel will be so perilously difficult that you can't trust a person to do it. You know, if you're adding more traffic to our roads with some sort of an autonomy side to it, eventually it's like, no, you're going to need to get a license to take over the car. And there will be places where you're not allowed to use it because it'll be this brilliant symphony of transportation moving and communicating and slipstreaming around each other. And you add in one person in the right lane, 40 miles an hour, trying to, you know, just keep up with it. It's, you know, it's going to be like people trying to keep up with all the stock funds that are managed by computers. It's like, no, you're not going to outbid this. Sorry, guys.
That's a good point.
Oh, we're going to find out, right?
Yep.
We're going to find out what the future holds. And I think Tesla's at the front of it all. So he's just like, Tesla's like Chase in these events on the weekends. He's just leading everybody to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
So
just say yes. when you get a call, they're like, "I need a Cybertruck." Just say yes.
Yeah, just say yes.
So, I can hear the jingle on TV now. It's like, when you need a Cybertruck, 1-800-CHASE-CT.
Hashtag Cybertruck ATX.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Shameless plug.
There you go.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I think that was it for today. And I appreciate it. Cool. And it was a good time. And we'll see everybody next week.
Yep.
Sweet.
Later.
Yep. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.